Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi. Sabina. We're actually having some trouble. Bryant, our host, is not on the call yet. So we are working on that. But we're ambassadors for Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. I'm
hey,
Sabina.
Everybody.
I'm in Utah.
And I'm Lindsay Scheifele. I'm in a suburb, northern suburb of Chicago called Mundelein.
And I'm Farben Hagigi. I'm in Chicago as well. I used to be in Dubai, recently moved to Chicago.
So here we are. What should we talk about, ladies?
Maybe we should talk about how we got into Food Revolution first.
Oh, good call. Who's been here the longest? Who wants to go first?
Let's see. I think I've been here the longest, which is crazy. If I started, I began last November, 2012, because I had started a food change about a month earlier for my daughter, Abby, who was really suffering for the past, well, came to our attention for the past about year and a half. She was having trouble in the classroom, lots of attention issues, sensory issues, auditory processing, you name it, even social issues. And my husband and I have been, you know, in intervention meetings, and I decided before I took the step to medication and an official diagnosis, I decided to do a food change, whom my neighbor had successfully accomplished years before. So I went for it, and within about 2.5 weeks of, you know, eliminating certain things one at a time, she, you know, I got that phone call from her teacher that said, Lindsay, she's fine. She's showing no symptoms. So that forged a permanent family and, you know, lifestyle change, and I came across Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution online, and I thought to myself, wow, if this was this issue with Abby, there might be other kids out there. There might be other Abbies out there. So I decided to become an ambassador, and they accepted me, and now I'm just trying to spread the message of real food. You know, not necessarily, you know, our little niche. Obviously, ADHD kind of came into our world, but, you know, lots of people aren't dealing with that. Lots of people are, and I figure,
well, for sure,
I can impact a lot of lives. So here I am.
That's fabulous.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yay. Yeah.
Hello.
You have our host back.
You started your show without
us. All right. No. Okay, let me see here. All right. Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. How you doing? This is Bryant. Today's guests are from Jamie Oliver's. They're ambassadors from the Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome,
great.
Bryant.
We're awesome. Thanks for having us, Bryant.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. I wanted to basically talk about, can you guys introduce yourself and the city you're from? Can you tell everybody where you're from?
Well, I just went
down.
Okay.
We already did a bit of introduction, but I'm going to go again. My name is Farben Hagigi. I'm originally from Iran. And I was Dubai's Food Revolution Ambassador, but now I recently moved to Chicago, so here I am.
Okay.
Okay.
Sabina?
Sabina, yeah. Hi, I'm Sabina. I am originally from northern Idaho, actually. I moved to Utah about 5 years ago, and maybe longer than that now. I don't know how long I've been here, but I'm in Utah now. And, I'm the Food Revolution Ambassador for just south of Salt Lake City. So.
Okay. So BYU area.
Yeah, BYU area. Go Cougars. Except for last night.
All right.
Football game kind of sucked.
Okay.
And hey, everybody. I'm Lindsay. Yeah, I was chatting a little bit before you were able to come back online, Bryant. But I'm Lindsay Scheifele. I'm a Mundelein, our Lake County Food Ambassador. I'm just about 25 miles north of Chicago, real close to Sarban, and I'm so excited to be a part of this huge movement that is truly sweeping the globe. It's really great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask to get along with the interview, can you tell us, because a lot of people may not know, what is the Jamie All Food Revolution Day that happened on May 17th? It happened last May, and we're going to have another one coming this summer. So can you tell everybody what that is? What you guys did? What did you do on that day?
Well, I'll go ahead and start.
Go for it. Lindsay,
yes.
Go ahead.
I organized a community picnic, and I almost got Sarvin to come out, but then she was able to get us, some things going on in Chicago. So I can't wait to meet you someday. However, we started a community picnic. I got together with our local Whole Foods, and they donated some signage and some local produce, and we got together and had a big picnic. I had no idea what I was going to be able to accomplish, as it was my first Food Revolution Day. And the day is designed to get everyone talking about what is in our food, where our food is coming from, and I think most especially getting back into our kitchens and starting to cook again, to get us away from our connection, our unfortunate connection to the processed food in our life. And then last but not least, getting food nutrition and education back into our schools, which is really, it has completely disappeared from our curriculum. So our kids, college students, me, mom, dad, we're all, a lot of people like to cook, but there's a huge, huge group of us that just don't have the time. We're not comfortable with it anymore. And it's just not, I like to say it's not cool
priority,
anymore.
Really,
so,
it seems.
Yeah, we want to bring the cool and the sexy back to the kitchen. So.
Yeah, I think, Sarvan here, I think that was the whole point for us to be part of this movement, because the whole point is just to raise awareness and show people that there are more healthier options in terms of food. And what we did in Dubai 2 years ago, I managed to get it done in Jamie's restaurant, actually, that he has a restaurant in Dubai, and we had a session, and the turnout was great, so people came, and I had a talk session, and I showed them how to make a green smoothie, gave them a taste, gave them recipes, and it went on great. Then we all had lunch together at the restaurant. It was a great turnout. This year, I was in Chicago, but I managed to do, again, another event in Dubai, with the same guys. So they did a pizza making event with kids, which went great again.
Okay.
And here I met up with another two ambassadors in Chicago. They didn't have a big event going on, but they had something small going in their house, like a pizza making session as well, which apparently they had a really good turnout too. So that was great. So no matter how small you're big, it's just about, even if you can't change one person, that's more than enough.
Yes.
Now, Severin, do you know Lindsay? Because she's in Chicago too. So did you know her?
Yeah,
we were
fortunate. I was fortunate enough to talk to her, and I was really looking forward to go to the picnic that she arranged. But unfortunately, the first month that I was here in Chicago. So I was really, overwhelmed with some changes personally in my life, and I was just about to move in here. So there was a lot going on. Unfortunately, I couldn't help her, but definitely we're going to definitely do something big this year.
We're going to blow it up,
yes.
Ryan.
I am so excited for this
huge
Revolution Day.
No, that's a big city, yes. Yes. Wow. Sabina, what did you guys do in Utah? How was that?
Part of why I ended up getting involved is that I wasn't aware of the Food Revolution Day this last year. I didn't really see it. I'm not sure what happened in Salt Lake. I was in school at the time. And when I got on to Jamie Oliver's website and really started looking at it, I realized that there wasn't a lot going on with the food ambassadors in this area. And I feel like that the food scene here is really ready for that. There's a lot of other movements going on. There's a lot of push for local food, but there wasn't a lot for Food Revolution Day and food education. And so that's really what prompted me to get involved in the Food Ambassadors in the first place. So I'm really excited for this coming year. But
now you work with grocery stores there in Utah, right? So you're helping out in a way to give out as far as real foods, healthy foods. What are you doing there in Utah?
Oh, so there is a local grocery store chain, sort of a chain. I guess, I mean, there's 15, 16 stores, and they really push local involvement on the grocery store level. They're really trying to push, we have a tendency to see healthy food or clean food as almost like a food fad, and really they're trying to push it into a lifestyle, really pull it into the mainstream consciousness of the community, and showing how involving local growers and local products and small businesses, and it can really help the economy and it can really help nutrition. They have a program to go into the school districts and to teach. They call it the Teach to Taste program. And there's a curricula that we've set up where we go into first and second grade classrooms in the area and teach about what the food is, where it comes from. Like there's one on berries, there's one on squash, there's one on how pasta is made, and about salads and different kinds of lettuce, and really, really pushing exposure and education to young people on what it is, and really getting them excited about produce and the variety of flavor that can come without just fat and sugar. I mean, there's so much more to the world of food, and it can help everyone. It helps on a community level, and this group of stores is really involved in making sure that that's done. And I run the customer education programs at one of their locations.
Oh, that's good, because you know when I go in the grocery store.
it's really, really awesome. If you're ever in Utah, it's great. They do a fabulous, fabulous job. And they're really working. They really care about what's going on. And that's what the Jamie Oliver Foundation is really all about, is getting the community involved and aware, and helping people, real people, learn about real food. Mm-hmm. Like Lindsay and Sarvan was saying, it's a fantastic, fantastic organization because it is grassroots. It really is focused on the community level rather than just, I don't know, it's global, and it's as big as the world and as small as your individual community, and it makes it absolutely fabulous.
Exactly.
Wow.
Well said.
Now, Sarah, I was wondering, now in Dubai, I know they have, it's a very high-end luxury area, and I know they have grocery stores, of course, out there, but how are the farmers connecting to the grocery stores in Dubai?
Oh, it's really interesting because in Dubai, as you might know, everything is imported. Most of things are imported. So there's not that many awareness on fish food, unfortunately. People are getting to the stage that they know they have to eat organic, but to them, just going to an organic shop, which is everything is labeled, is more than enough, which, again, is costly. So what we were trying to do, and I tried to work with some of the restaurants there, they were raising awareness, trying to have farmers markets from the farmers in the UAE, which they didn't charge the farmers. They used to just give them stands, and they used to come on the weekends, and people used to come and shop from them. So that it just we just used to promote them, the farmers on one side, and then just push people to eat fresh, and you can eat healthier, and it doesn't have to be expensive. And then, you know, every now and then, again, I used to have sessions and what could you do with vegetables, like a really simple recipe. So just, again, push people to promote the farmers, and again, use your own kitchen. You do not have to rely on fast food, which is getting really big in Dubai as well, unfortunately.
Wow, just like it, like in the United States. Wow.
Yes,
Lindsay,
exactly.
I wanted to ask a
question.
Now, Lindsay, you're a good softball player.
Yes,
Chicago.
I am.
I saw that you're really good. Yes.
Oh, well, thanks. I played softball and basketball and volleyball all throughout high school, and I started pitching in high school, which is a little bit later on nowadays than when girls start. But I ended up getting a scholarship to play at Northwestern University in Evanston, and it was amazing. And I studied speech and language therapy there. And my assistant coach is now the head coach, Kate Drohan, which is great to have that.
Okay.
You know, it's nice to have that connection still. So since you brought up, you know, athletics, it's funny how being an athlete and that athletic perseverance that is so ingrained in much of America and elsewhere, and even if you're not an athlete,
yes.
You know, that academic perseverance. I think that piece, I really connected to that because when I started out on my food change, I said to myself, well, if I can train for 4 weeks, for 6 weeks, I can certainly dedicate myself and persevere no matter how hard it is. And get through this if it works. And that connection seems to resonate with you know, friends and family who are interested in doing it but are just so frustrated and so overwhelmed with the task of, you know, changing the food and changing the habits that we have. So it really helps being an athlete, and it certainly helped me with this. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, because I saw that you're really well known in Northwestern with a record, and you know, my question was, I remember reading you stated that many parents with their children, as far as attention deficit, they don't want to have a prescription. You know, they would rather choose food than a prescription for the attention deficit. So how did you incorporate that with, you know, as far as real foods to help out the youth?
Yeah, so that's what hit me. I thought to myself, what can I do? Can I do anything to avoid this? So we started out simply cutting out artificial colors and artificial preservatives, and we really cut back on refined sugar. So, you know, we try to do maple syrup, you know, honey, natural sweeteners, right, stevia. And within 4 days of cutting those three things out, Abby for sure went through a little bit of withdrawal. She's my sugar nut in the family. And she actually picked up a book, something that she never did before, and she asked my husband and I, you know, Dad, how do you say P-O-L-E? And we looked at each other, and we just, you know, it was like, oh, it's happening, you know. And then we had an intervention meeting, and a speech and language therapist who was included in the meeting said, you know, I've never seen this personally, but I've heard taking out gluten and dairy helps. So I said, what do I have to lose? So I did that too. And gluten turned out to be a big factor in Abby, and it still is. And I let her cheat so that she can understand and begin to feel the impact and how it makes her feel. So it's not about, you know, 100% perfection, because I want it to be sustainable, you know, as when she leaves my nest. And so it's been the kids, because they're 8, 7, and 4, they understand. And when I talk to them about real food and fake food, they get it. And they're on board. And they actually will give you a little lecture, which I've got to work on, you know. But they're pretty into it.
Wow.
That's really
big. I mean, yes.
Oh, I was just saying, that's fantastic. That's really where education makes a difference, is in young people.
Yeah. Yeah, it really has made a difference in my mother.
Yeah, it is. If I can add something, that's the perfect example that Lindsay gave, because from my experience, whenever you try to enforce something, you never get a positive response. The best way to do it is just to show people, kids or adults, doesn't make a really difference, just to show them and make them ask questions, get them interested, and then that's how they will really get involved. They will see the difference, they will see the positive impact, And then that's how they really want to try it, rather than you trying to force them to try fruits and vegetables. That's never going to work. It's not going to be sustainable, as Nisa said.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right, because, I mean, in school, I mean, they have the menu for them, and they have to eat this lunch at school. I mean, I know schools are getting better at giving healthier foods, you know, but at home, at least they can learn different at a young age, they can learn different types of foods that are out there that's good for their body and attention and everything, you know?
Well, and see, it's our responsibility as the adults of our society to remember that kids are still impressionable. I mean, kids don't come into this world saying, "Oh, hey, I want McDonald's." I mean, it's like, okay, where I grew up, my mom made sure that we knew where food came from because we grew it. I mean, we had fruit trees, we had gardens, and we used the food that we grew. And while that's not always possible with people's lifestyles, I think that we can get back to that a little more, getting kids really involved and letting them be excited about healthy food. We're sitting here saying, "Oh my gosh, you're going to hate this because it's healthy." I mean, we're wondering, "Oh my gosh, where is this coming from?" It's like, well, look in the mirror.
You're so true. That is so true.
Sabina, now you say, I remember you said a line like food is like painting. What is that? Can you explain that when you say food is like painting? You had said that food is just like painting.
Painting?
Yes.
Well,
you had
I feel like it's something that's very immediate. If you look at a painting and you, whatever that painting is, and I am no art historian, let me tell you that, but I mean, I can appreciate when a painting looks good, but you can almost see the emotion of the artist. You can see how fast the brush was moving. You can see how delicately he's putting it. I mean, you can almost see it. It's a very high motion, high energy art form. Even though it's still, and I think food can do the same thing. When you look at a finished product and when you sit down to eat a meal, the more colors that are there, the better balanced it usually is. And you can feel and you can see what kind of care went into the preparation and what kind of understanding you have for the world. I mean, you look at a painting, you can see what they think about the world in some way or what message they're trying to send to the world. And when you look at food and you deal with food, it's very, very similar.
You put your heart into it. I think that's...
And you put... You're sending a message to the people at the table. And our goal as Food Revolution Ambassadors is to bring more people to the table, like to really to let them see what's going on, how much better they feel, and how much better the world is when we get back to basics.
Wow.
Well said, dear.
Very well said. I just froze when you said, when you gave that explanation. There was a guest we had, her name was Sharon Battier. She was from Colorado, and she had a different take about kind of what's going on in Colorado. I want you guys to listen and see what you guys think about it.
Sure.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio, and we have a ambassador from Boulder, Colorado, and her name is Sharon Battier. She's one of the ambassadors in Boulder. How are you doing, Sharon?
I'm doing really well today.
Wow, so how's it going in Colorado?
It's going all right. We're hanging in there.
Wow. Well, I saw that you're one of the ambassadors there. I wanted to just, ask, how did you become one of the ambassadors for the Food Revolution? How did that get started? How did that start?
Well, I had connected up with Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution before it was actually called that. It was when the TV show was on, and they were looking for people in the community to help spread the word.
Okay, the show that was on the Food Channel.
Right. It was on TV. They did it from West Virginia, and they also did one from Los Angeles.
Okay.
And that's when things started going, and Oliver and his organization decided that they should do something more community-based.
Okay.
And that's how I got connected to them.
What? So basically, now, before, were you cooking way before that started, or did you go to culinary school, or how did that work? How did you get into cooking?
Well, if you go far enough back, it was my mother.
Ah.
She was a caterer.
Yes.
But my background is actually in math, and I went to grad school for math and was an engineer for 15 years, and then I went to culinary school.
And then that's what happened.
Right, and that's what happened. You go to culinary school, and I went to culinary school, it was 15 years ago now, almost, and then that's what got me into food again. I mean, I was into food before that, but I decided I really wanted to do something in food, and I worked in restaurants, and I had my own little organic produce farm for a little while,
okay.
and bopped around, and then a friend of mine here in Boulder, we started talking, and since we're in Boulder, where the flagship school for the University of Colorado system is.
Yes.
Tons of college students, we realized most of them don't know how to cook, so we thought we would start a little business teaching them to cook. And ultimately we came around to having a nonprofit cooking school where we taught them how to cook. And that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years, and just trying to spread out from there, just teaching people how to cook. I love to teach people to cook. Obviously, I know how to cook.
Right.
Having
right.
done it for a long time.
Many years going to school and everything. Right, right. Now,
yeah.
Boulder, I know, just from reading about it, it's a very healthy city. I mean, as far as skiing, biking, I mean, athletes, it's a very healthy, conscious city. So how did that interact by teaching the challenge of teaching healthy health conscious foods there to Boulder and the students?
Well, the students here in Boulder come from all over the country. I mean, CU is a huge university.
Right.
And though many of them are drawn from Colorado itself, most of them don't come from Boulder. Boulder is extremely health conscious.
Okay.
We have a massive Whole Foods.
Yes.
That is very busy. And yes, we like to bike and hike and run and all that good stuff, but a lot of the kids who end up at CU are not from here.
I see. The Buffaloes, right? Colorado University.
Yes.
The
Colorado Buffaloes.
All right. Now, you became one of the food ambassadors. Now, when you first started out as an ambassador, what does it mean to become an ambassador?
It means that you promote the mission of the food revolution locally,
okay.
And you try to be the community point person for whatever all that Jamie Oliver is about, real food, food education,
okay.
Improving school lunches. Those are the big thrusts. For me, the big thrust was obviously food education because that's what I do. We're actually very lucky in Boulder in that food in the schools predated my association with the push towards healthier food in schools, predated my association with Jamie Oliver. Ann Cooper is our food service person here. And, I mean, she is the poster lady for...
I got you. The front person. The front person.
Everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she's been that way for a long time, and she's the person who runs our food service here in the local school district.
I
don't have to worry about that. She worries about that, and she does a phenomenal job.
Okay, so like a person who's the starter, then the assistant. So both lead person, including yourself, are very well known in healthy foods.
Yeah, I don't like to tout that we're about healthy foods. I like to say we're about real food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people get turned off when they think about healthy food. It makes them think about, you know, boring food or tasteless food or nuts and sticks and things like that. I like to talk about real food. We have an awesome farmer's market here in Boulder, and you can get real locally grown food that's absolutely beautiful. And that's what I like my students to think about. Cooking for yourself means you can eat real food.
Well, I'm going to take that word. I'm going to take that word too, real food. I'm going to have that word in my living too today, you know, real food. Now, I know there's a school of arts, a school of science, and I heard that you started a school of eating good.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. Yes.
That's what, that gets back to the healthy.
Okay.
So when my friend and I were trying to come up with a name for our cooking school, we thought about eating well, but eating well has sort of that connotation of healthy. And when approaching college students, we decided that the whole healthy angle was not going to get us a lot of credibility. They need to know how to cook, and we like to teach them how to cook so they eat real food, stuff that they make from scratch, that it is healthy, but we don't say it too loud.
Right.
So we came up with the name School of Eating Good, because eating good is sort of, it says it all, you know?
Yes, it does. I mean, just the word good, that word good, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now, how did, now did they have like a, I remember in college we had a syllabus, and so did they have a syllabus, or did they have what they were going to have for their course, their courses at the school, or how did that work?
The school, I don't actually teach. I'm not on the faculty of the university. We contract with the school to teach some of their students who live in student-owned apartments at CU. So these students have their own kitchens. They have to feed themselves. Most of them are not on the food plan, which if you live in a dorm, you are.
Yes.
And so they're dependent on themselves to feed themselves. And many of them come to college and have no idea what the – Never held a knife in their life.
And
it's supposed to be a social thing and an educational thing and a new sort of a nutrition thing. You know, teach them how to cook a few meals for themselves, and it's been really successful. The groups are pretty small.
Okay.
Last year they were really small. We did them like 8 to 10 students. This year it's a little bigger. It's more like 20 to 25, because we have a bigger kitchen this year, and we just have a good time cooking food. A couple weeks ago, we made risotto. I made risotto, which most of them have never ever eaten. Certainly, have never cooked.
Okay, can you tell us, like our listeners, like what was the ingredients of risotto?
We did two.
Okay,
we did a vegetarian risotto that had spinach and sun-dried tomatoes and chickpeas in it.
Okay.
And then the other one was shrimp and mushrooms.
Ah. Wow. I know, like, I know when they're going to their, I mean, I know school foods at colleges are good, too, but I know they're like, hey, we're cooking better foods in our dorms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think most of them didn't realize how easy it is to make risotto. It does take a bit of attention.
But it's
kind of fun, you know. You can have a party. Everybody gets together. Everybody takes a turn stirring, and that's the way it worked out. And they were just thrilled with the results. They're like, oh, my God, this tastes so good. I'm like, yeah, and it's not that hard. And the other thing we like to focus on is it's really not that expensive either. Sounds very high end. You get it in fancy Italian restaurants.
Okay, like putting in different ingredients together, right? Wow.
It's doable even on a student's budget. You can make it work.
Now, have you spoken with other ambassadors? I've always wanted to say, do you guys talk to other ambassadors in other cities? In other towns and cities and countries?
In other countries, actually.
Yeah, really, countries, because I heard it's in, like, over 600, 700 cities. So I was wondering, do you guys consult with each other, you know, and you know?
We do, because part of the setup of the food revolution was Jamie Oliver's folks put together a really nice Facebook page for us to talk to each other on. So we compare notes and post stuff about what we're doing to each other, and we learn from each other. I've met some really great people virtually. I'm hoping someday to meet them in person.
Person, yes. Well, you know, on our today on the show, as you know, we're having other ambassadors. Now, I've always wanted to know, would you have a question for the other ambassadors, like a good question to ask?
Well, I'm always curious for the other ambassadors who do what I do, which is food education. How do you hook up with people? How do you get people to find you? That, you know, marketing is such a difficult thing, you know.
Okay.
It's hard to get out there and find your students. And I'm always interested in knowing.
Lindsay here from Mundelein. What I did about a couple weeks before our big food event, I recruited one of our new food ambassadors out here, Brianna Cardone. She's a chef and restaurant owner here in Mundelein, and she represents Food Revolution Long Grove. And then I also have recruited a new ambassador that's come on about a month and a half now. Her name is Christina Erickson, and she is a local foods teacher at a huge high school in the area, Stevenson. So in terms of getting the message out there, we have a Facebook page, we have a Twitter page, and I am just trying to get as much information as I can out there on a regular basis. And so far it's spread by personal communication, handing out my business card, and then they tell somebody, and they tell somebody else, and it went from me to, we have over 170 likes on our Facebook page, and and it's, you know, it's going from there.
Okay,
absolutely.
So Sarvin here, I wanted to add something as well. In Dubai, as you might know, you talked about when you were interviewing Brian, you were talking about the challenges in Boulder, but as you know, that people are really health conscious out there. In Dubai, one of the biggest challenges for me was people are not that health conscious. So people are really dependent on fast food and processed food all the time. So what I had to do, I was just trying to get the word out with the free sessions, as I said, anywhere I could, even if it was in a coffee shop. And I did really well. Like, the number of people who tried to understand what was I talking about, it went up by every time that I did the sessions. And then I started to go into every school in person. I contacted them by email, and I went in person. I talked to them, and I said, I'm going to have three sessions for the kids just to let them know why they need to eat fruits, why they need to eat vegetables. Most of them were not even interested to listen to me, but I didn't give up. I just went, you know, you just need to use all the forces you have, like social media, as Lindsay touched on. And then I think you just need to use whatever you can to get the word out there. Once the word is out there, then it's just the word of mouth, and then you get introduced to people in the mysterious ways, and people get on your way, and then you get to, you know, doors just open up for you, which is amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
How would you do? I know you said you're just starting out there in Utah, but how would you think you would do it there, and as far as Salt Lake City?
Well, I'm just getting started with Jamie Oliver's foundation, but as far as this is something I've been passionate about for a long time, we're really lucky. If you go, you know, to a networking class or something,
I mean, they're going to tell you to be personable. Find something that you agree on. Find something that's a commonality and start a conversation. Everybody's got to eat, man. Food's already, I mean, right on. I mean, there's, I haven't met a single person that doesn't actually have to consume something at some point in their life. It's been a real help for me because it's something we can start talking about and finding something that people care about, whether it's exactly real food or not. Real food isn't, I mean, we call it a movement, but it's a lifestyle. It's the way that people used to eat. I mean, you know, 200 years ago, if they heard that there was like some global organization to try to get people to eat vegetables, I mean, they'd look at us like we were crazy. I mean, that's how people are naturally built to eat. And so like the other ambassadors have mentioned, use the resources that we have. There are teachers in schools, there are chefs in restaurants that really do care. Go to the farmers, go to, you know, whoever is there. I mean, there are so many different facets to food and the food industry that you really just got to connect with those people and just start talking. And if all else fails, offer to feed them dinner and cook real food and they'll be converted.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Well, I just want to thank the ambassadors for the Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution, and I know you guys are going to be doing something great on this, you know, in the summertime on May 17th, and you're doing something now, you know, during the fall. But I just want to thank you guys for being on Flavor Living Radio. Finally, we got together and to talk about, as Sabina said, the movement. And I just want to thank you guys and keep on. And as far as the cause and to teaching us a better way of eating, you know, in our communities. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for
having
us. Yeah, for sure.
Brian,
thanks, Brian.
There is something coming up, Brian, that I wanted to tell you about. It's Food Day on October 24th.
Okay.
It's a huge day. It's there's a huge amount of organization behind it, and you can check it out at foodday.org. And I'm going to be doing some things in my community to get everybody involved, and it's very similarly principled. You know, where's our food coming from? Eating local. What's in our food? All of that good stuff. So there's a great opportunity coming up in October to get into real food and celebrate it.
Yeah, and
I can add the last.
I know I keep on adding stuff, but I think that's the most important thing. I think one of the most important things for me is to teach people at least to be able to make something for themselves out of the things they have in their fridge, because not a lot of people can do that. If you open your fridge and you can just figure out something to do with whatever you have, not just, you know, call a delivery or just go pick up something from one of these chains that we know how bad they are, I think that will be one of the basic things to do. And then once you're on that road, then the rest is up to you. You know, you will start to get up there yourself.
Wow, very true, very true. Then our routine, you know, is, you know, as far as, it starts from you guys teaching us when we go to the grocery store, hey, we can get this food and this food, puts this together and it's healthy, gives us the energy. So you're right. Very right, Saravin. Very right. All right.
Well, thanks
for,
Brian.
Thanks for being on Flavor Living. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Right.
Thanks,
right.
Brian. It was awesome.
You have a good day. Right.
You too.
You too.
You
take
too.
Care, everybody.
Bye, right. Guys. Keep the good
luck.
Bye. Nice meeting you.
Go Food Rep. Flavor Living Radio. Talk about food and life and more. Cooking, restaurants, and recipes with adventures too. Just wait and see. Flavor Living Radio. Everything you'd want to know. So tune in now and start listening. Flavor
I've been troubled.